Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. With only 3 days of campaigning left until Election Day, all the parties are making their final push to convince voters. An estimated 4.7 million people participated in advance polls over the Thanksgiving weekend. That's a 29% increase over advance polls in 2015. If you are brave enough to try and make sense of all the various pollsters and the numbers spewing at us, the race is neck and neck. There are all kinds of scenarios being offered, from minority to coalition governments to a majority. And let us not forget that the Liberals were in third place before they won an overwhelming majority the last time. It can be a confusing time. To help us sort through these waning days, I am pleased to have in the studio someone who has a wide range of political experience and political analysis. Ben Bird is a former municipal councillor. He ran for the NDP in 1981 in the provincial election in this riding, as well as in the federal election in 2000. He's one of the first political bloggers in Northumberland and is well known for his musings in the Bird Report. He is also a commentator on this radio station, regularly appearing on The Drive Time with Dave Glover. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Almost said Dave.
Big difference.
That's right.
So, what has stood out in your mind as being a critical moment in this campaign?
I think the critical moment was when people realized that Jagmeet Singh was suddenly an innovative and interesting person.
And when did that happen, in your mind?
About 4 weeks ago.
What was the incident that you think brought that to light?
Well, the pundits say, and I'm not sure that I would agree with them, but I wouldn't disagree, the English debate appeared to be the time that Jagmeet really took off.
And what was it about that debate, do you think, that made the difference in your mind?
Well, I didn't watch the debate simply because this election really is the most disinteresting election that I've ever been involved with and looking at. And the reason I say that is that American politics and gotcha moments and all kinds of nasty things have been going on. And I just don't think that that's the right way to run an election. So I stood back and watched. I didn't watch the debate. I read the pundits' reports on it. And it appeared that the pundits came to the conclusion that neither Trudeau nor Scheer were very impressive, and therefore Scheer stood out.
Oh, you mean Singh stood out?
Singh stood out. Yeah,
Sorry. All right. So if you didn't watch it and you think that that's a critical moment, what do you see has happened in that transition?
Well, what's happened is that the pundits and the media are now giving more attention to what Singh has been doing. And if you look at what he's been doing, he's been pulling the crowds in, he's been jumping up and down to rap music, he's been connecting with young people in a most amazing way. And basically, he pulled them in the last 3 weeks from 13% all the way to 20%.
Okay, now I know you ran for the NDP.
Yes.
You've been very involved with the NDP over the years when you've lived here. And so how do we know that this isn't just you plugging the party and it's actually a political moment that you're basing this on?
I'm basing it on the nightly polls. And Nanos puts out a nightly poll, and Twitter tweets it all over the place. And it's a fact that the polls have come up from 13% to 20% in 3 weeks.
Okay, we can come back to that, because I think that poll number is significant and worthy of looking at a little deeply. But let's start with the national leaders. To what extent do you think the national campaign and the leadership is going to have on local candidates?
usually not much. In my experience, I found that unless there's an absolutely brilliant local candidate, and we haven't had one for a long, long time in any particular riding, the national trend is what carries the vote. And what I think before this election came in, this election is very much like the Ford election. In the Ford election, Wynne was done a year ago, or a year before the before the vote. People had made their minds up that Wynne had to go. Now, as a result of the same kind of dynamics, where you get nasty memes all over Twitter, you get untruths and fake news all over Facebook. Social media has gone nuts on this, basically because it's driven by people with opinions who do not like Mr. Trudeau. And if you looked at all the political stuff that's been on social media, it's been anti-Trudeau, not necessarily pro-Scheer. They'll put Trudeau down before they put Scheer up. They want to annihilate Trudeau in the minds of the voters, so Scheer can move into the vacuum.
But let's be candid about that, because you know if you look at what the Liberals have been doing, and Scheer as a leader, there has been this correlation between Doug Ford and what he's done in Ontario and Andrew Scheer, and the Liberals have pushed this since about a year ago. I mean, they were talking before the writ was dropped about, you know, look what Doug Ford has done. Do you want another Doug Ford? And there's been all kinds of both social media and campaigning around this. My question to you is it working?
To a certain extent, it's working.
To what extent?
To what extent? It has made the people who switch, the progressives, think whether they should stay with Trudeau or whether they should go someplace else. And in this particular riding, and I will give kudos to this, the Green Party has got a really good candidate. And so the question is, in this particular riding, where are the switchers going to go? Last time around, they went to Trudeau. This time around, they're going to come away from Trudeau, and where will they go?
But do you think the strategy of making this comparison between Doug Ford and Andrew Scheer, is it working in terms of a political strategy?
I think it is, yes.
You
yes.
do?
Yes.
How effective do you see it being?
I think it's for the people who are willing... put it this way. The Conservatives are like the Republicans in the States. There is a base of 30%, no matter what.
Okay.
To what extent that base is going to be eroded by the People's Party is another question. We'll get into that later on. But so really, the Conservatives have got to do a couple of things. They have to make Trudeau as unappealing as possible, and they have to persuade the people who do not appeal, the Trudeau doesn't appeal to anymore, to go to them. And the way they've done that is to appeal to the pocketbook elections. I'm going to save you money. I'm going to give you all this kind of money. And at the same time, and this is the thing that I really object to, is they accuse Trudeau of being a complete liar and a baseless person.
Why are you so opposed to that?
It's not nice. It may be truthful, it may be coffee shop conversation, but well, I think we can be above that in election campaigns.
But this strategy around tagging Scheer with Ford, I mean, we've watched Ford has been very quiet during this campaign. I think yesterday was the first time we've heard him speak publicly at all about things. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, how damaging this has been. If all of that is true, is it enough to change the minds of independents? Because, you know, it's easy for us to talk about bases of support and partisans, but really what you're trying to move is a very small slice of the population who really hasn't made up their mind yet and really doesn't have an opinion, and you're trying to move those people. Is that an effective strategy aimed at those independents or non-committed voters?
I think it is, and this is why the strength of the number of people going to the advanced polls is so important. We don't know how they voted, but what we do know is that there are a lot more committed people to vote against each other than usual.
Okay, that's an interesting statement, because I'd agree with you. It shows a lot more people are committed in their own minds.
They've made
a
decision,
but we don't. I agree. We don't know what way, and I think that's the real crapshoot, is what's going on in those bowls. Is it all the partisans are coming out, and you know, we know our person, so let's get this done so we can work on election day, or is it, you know, has the campaign created a decisive moment?
I think if you cast your mind back to voting. To voting practice and voting ideology to the Ford victory.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us knew that Wynne was going to be done like dinner for a year before that. And I think the same thing might be happening, might have happened. My inboxes and social media has been inundated for the last year with anti-Trudeau stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much of that has stuck, I don't know.
Well,
how much of that is going to be countered by people rushing out to the polls to defend him? I don't know.
So let's talk about Trudeau. The blackface incident is considered by some to be a very damaging thing to his campaign. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, for one thing, not being a racial person, I really don't understand the impact of it to them. Secondly, I don't know if the impact was dangerous. In other words, they would withdraw their support simply because he dressed up like a minstrel or Aladdin or whoever it was. The point was that at that point in time, it was no big deal, or else somebody would have called him out on it.
Well, it's a big deal now.
It's a big deal now, and that's the problem. We apply modern-day norms to 20-year-old actions and suddenly say, oh, you shouldn't have done that 20 years ago. Well, 20 years ago, it was not acceptable.
Well, I appreciate your point of view, and some would argue differently than you are right now, but we're talking about politics.
Yes.
And so when you look at that in political terms, is it damaging to his campaign? Is it going to hurt him?
Of course, it's damaging, because it's a bad thing that happened in some people's minds today, even though it was 20 years ago. It's just as damaging as Mr. Scheer refusing to come clean on his history, the fact that he's a dual American citizen, holds American citizenship. It never came out until in the last couple of weeks ago. So people are always digging up dirt on these things. Now the question is, how do you handle the dirt when it's exposed?
And how much of it sticks?
Precisely, how much of it sticks.
All right. Another thing that's different for Trudeau this time around is the fact that he's now has a record that he is going to be held accountable for, and there's some feel that it's a reason to support him, and there's others that are saying, you know, we're disillusioned, it's a reason not to vote for him. How much is that changing the dynamic in your mind as people go to the polls?
Well, the one thing for me and a whole bunch of other people who switched last time was that the big promise around them was going to be proportional representation, electoral reform. And that's the biggest promise that he broke. And there's no real reason given to us in any of these last 3 years or 2 years since he's done it as to why he did it. There's all kinds of supposition. The supposition was that the committee that he delegated the problem to and to find a solution didn't come up with a solution that he wanted. We don't know that, because he's never really said. He just said he's not going to go any further. And so that's one big thing for a lot of people who were switching and looking and supported him last time around. Now, how much of that is going to come back to haunt him, I've no idea. But the other stuff, like the SNC and a whole bunch of stuff, they're all manufactured political crises. Every one of them was manufactured by the opposition, blown up to make him look bad.
Okay, let's talk a bit about Jagmeet Singh. And you started to talk about this, and I thought this was interesting too, because this comes out of reports from yesterday's news. And that is that there's been a massive surge in his popularity. He's gone from 12% approval rating at the beginning of the campaign now to 20% just over the course of a few weeks. Is this going to make a difference across the country, though?
I think so.
How?
For one thing, he's the shiny object in the glass, and people are attracted to shiny objects. He hasn't really done anything wrong that he can be blamed for, and that's a big dynamic in modern politics, because normally you get crucified for doing something and then it's held against you, and therefore you should not vote for them because of this. He hasn't got any bad points so far. He has brought the polls up by just lucky. You take a look at Twitter. You see him yesterday. He was in Montreal, I think it was, jumping up and down like a Bollywood wedding, and young people in the audience thought it was fantastic. Now, how many of those young people are going to vote? And this is the question. The question is, and I'm sure some people have done the calculation. If you move the NDP vote by 9%. Who benefits? Is it going to be the Conservative because they're pulling away from the Liberals, or and the Conservatives slide up the middle, or is it going to be the NDP by more seats?
Okay, so let's unpack that a bit more, because that's where it starts to get a little bit confusing and sometimes a bit, I don't know.
Wonky.
Yes. Wonky is a good word. Okay, I'll take wonky. His popularity is based on him. People vote for him. But as you've tried to just explain, how does that translate into seats in Parliament?
That's right.
And so answer that question for me, because
well,
that...
Hopefully it's going to, A, maintain the NDP seats that we have in ridings where the Liberals are surging, and the big one here are the two seats in Windsor, where Irene Matters has retired, mm-hmm. and Pupatello has moved in to take an NDPer on. So the question is Singh's popularity come back in those seats enough to maintain those seats?
But I also hear, though, that he's not doing very well in Quebec right now. And in fact, there's some talk that he may lose quite a number of seats in any support that he's had there. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that given Quebec's history of discriminating against people of different faiths, and we've seen this in Bill 21.
Mm-hmm.
Given the fact that I'm just speaking personally on this, the Quebecers seem to be more insular than others, and not welcoming to people of other colors. Then it seems to me, like somebody said to me months ago, Quebecers will never vote for a guy in a turban. Now we don't know how true that's going to be until we get it. Don't forget that the NDP seats they've got in Quebec were obtained at the expense of the Bloc last time around, and the Bloc is also neck and neck with the Liberals in Quebec polls, 20% I think apiece.
So those two things combined.
I think so. Yes.
Okay. Let's talk a bit about the Green Party, Elizabeth May. They had huge momentum going into this election. The Green Party is successfully electing candidates at the provincial level and during a federal by-election. Is there a significant enough of a green wave to see a tangible result come Monday night?
Probably, but I don't think it's going to be the green wave. What's going to happen is that if you look at the NDP support plus the Green Party support and say, where is it coming from? I would say it's going to be coming from disenchanted Tories, and there are always Tories who will vote for NDP when they're disenchanted with the Tories. There's going to be progressives who think that the Green Party is preferable to the NDP. So I think, and the fact that Jeff Wheeldon in this riding has probably run the most open and visible campaign of any of the candidates.
We'll talk about that local stuff in a little bit, but I'd like to go back to May and what we're talking about.
Yes.
Now, because you know it seems to me, both with the NDP and with the Green Party, you know, it's translating votes into seats is the critical piece. How much of momentum, especially now that climate change has been such a big issue during this campaign, how much of that is going to lift people up so that she's going to see more seats in Parliament?
I don't know, but I did read, and somebody reported the fact that the Greens are going to take all the seats on Vancouver Island. Now, I don't know how many seats there are out there, but they've always been, the Greens have always had a presence in BC. They've also they got themselves a presence, I think, in PEI, one of the eastern provinces, in one of the latest provincial election. So I think it's the shiny object syndrome again. First of all, most people want to vote with a winner, and secondly, a lot of people really don't care about politics, and they'll vote for the person who's going to do them the least harm. And I think in a combination of shiny objects and least harm, the Greens do look a little bit attractive.
All right. Last but not least, Maxime Bernier and the People's Party of Canada. I mean, these guys are the new kids on the block, so to speak. Are they going to have an impact? You seem to imply earlier that they may pull votes away from the Conservatives. Do you think they're going to be significant enough?
I don't think they're going to be significant enough, but they have quite a large presence, probably larger than their actual presence, larger in perception than they actually will get. But don't forget that there's always been the Reform-Conservative split. And this People Party, as far as I'm concerned, is nothing but an enlarged and much more dangerous Reform.
But Reform was, had the alliance beforehand, and the Reform Party certainly was a much bigger threat in terms of splitting the vote than...
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so...
So what I'm saying is that within the Tory Party, you've got... You'll have three sections, as far as I'm concerned. You'll have the extreme right, which was taken care of when the Reform and the Alliance Party joined with the Conservatives. You'll have the Red Tories, which have basically been wiped out by the actions of the provincial Tories and Mr. Scheer's policies. And you'll have the base. Now, the question is, those ratios will always change. Now, the question is, now that we've got the People's Party, how much of the ratio of Reform Alliance are going to go over to the People's Party?
That'll be the question, I guess.
Yes.
It's interesting, though, you made the correlation between the Green Party taking away some from the Tories. I think if you looked at their platform, it's by no means... I know they used to be very libertarian, but you read their current platform, and I would be hard-pressed to say they're libertarian now, because, I mean, any party that's going to agree to a basic income for people across the country is not libertarian. Anyway, on that note, we're going to take a break for some commercials. I'm talking to Ben Bird, former politician and political analyst. Please stay tuned to Consider This on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn. And you are listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. My guest today is Ben Bird, former politician and political analyst. And we're talking about his platform for the the platforms and policies in the upcoming federal election on October 21st. But before we begin, I would like to share an important announcement. Starting next Wednesday, October 23rd, Northumberland 89.7 will start its Radiothon. This is one of our major fundraising events, and since we are a community radio station, we rely on fundraising as well as advertising sales to bring you programs like this one. Our goal is to raise $15,000. Specifically, it is to help Northumberland 89.7 make improvements to our broadcast equipment so we can bring you, the listener, the best quality programming possible. People like myself volunteer to bring you shows every day, so I hope you will show your appreciation and give generously starting next Wednesday. For more information, please call 905-372-2321 or 905-372-2391 or go to our website at northumberland897.ca. And thank you for your support. Yeah. Ben, we appreciate people helping us out. It's wonderful to have opportunities to do this kind of programming and to talk to people like you and others each Friday. So I hope people will find a few moments and give generously.
Well, I hope so too, Rob, for the sake of the station. The station, what, 5 years now?
Oh, more than that. Six. Yeah. This is our sixth radiothon.
Your sixth radiothon, yeah. So, yeah, and it's definitely filling a gap, that's for sure.
Good to know, good to know. Speaking about filling gaps, I wanted to talk about the local campaign. And first of all, let's start by saying, or asking at least, how would you characterize the local campaigns?
Invisible?
How's that? How do you say that?
Well, I'll drive around town, there's fewer signs. I don't know whether people don't want to put signs on their lawn anymore. The door knocking, really, I'm not sure where it's been. Secondly, the social media campaigns, really, from what crosses my websites, or my PC, is really only the Green Party. Jeff's been doing a really good job of maintaining an online presence. I haven't seen any of the others.
So let's unpack that, because, you know, I would agree with you. I drive up to Trent, as you know, I teach up there, and I teach down at Loyalist. And so I drive throughout the county quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen a lot of signs either. I haven't had a lot of literature dropped off to the house. So I'll agree with you on that one. What is that telling us? What is that telling us? Is it something systemic about the campaigns themselves? Is it a new type of campaigning in the 21st century? What do you think it attributes to?
I really don't know, but I do know that probably lack of advanced planning. For instance, we had the Conservative candidate take over his campaign office 6 months before the actual campaign, and all was happening was just signs in the window. There appeared to be no pre-election kind of build up to the fact that, you know, you've got to have the announcement, the writs dropped, and all of a sudden signs go out. I think the sign campaigns all of the campaigns, in fact, I think, I've had two problems. Probably one of not enough signs and not enough volunteers and not enough locations. Secondly, municipalities have been passing bylaws that will not allow election signs on public property. And so some of the intersections that you used to see signs on when you drove to Peterborough, for instance, go up Burnham Street, and the big 4x4 signs are not on those public corners anymore.
I have a couple of comments then to that. I mean, first of all, at least the tracking that I've been doing, I've been very sensitive to the fact that David Piccini has been helping out Philip Lawrence a great deal. And I'm not saying that in a critical way. I'm just stating that as something that I've observed from the social media posts that have been out there. Some people I've talked to say that he's been very engaged in this campaign. And I feel, you know, he's been very active coming off of his own campaign. But I know that he was telling me, even in an interview I did on this show, that, you know, since even the election, he's been out talking to people, knocking on doors, making connections. So he's kept that machine pretty active, so that, you know, Philip Lawrence has stepped into a very powerful set of resources that he's been able to leverage, and I don't think that's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm not placing a judgment on it. I just think that's there. I look at the Green Party campaign, the NDP, and the People's Party, and I feel that they haven't had the same levels of support.
No. As I said, all I know is for sure the presence on my news feeds on Facebook, Jeff's been coming up with something almost every other day. The Philip Lawrence stuff that comes through is the same one from 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as though I've got I've got something else for you to think about. I'm not just consider supporting me, but the same one.
But that's been true of the Liberals as well.
Absolutely, I see the odd Kim Rudd one, and the NDP will put out central NDP stuff, not necessarily a message from Mallory.
And it's been interesting too, as somebody who spends a great deal of time on social media, because it's a great part of what I teach at the college. And it's been fascinating to see what Jeff puts up is not always party stuff.
No.
I've actually seen a couple of times where he's actually, it almost feels like a confessional or a diary entry where he's, you know, he's wrestling with some issue or some aspect of the campaign or what's been going on. And I found that really interesting. Now, when I think about social media, though, I think about a particular demographic. And from that standpoint of view, when you look at our demographic and how many people are on social media, do you think that that really matters? Because, 45% of this county, at least, or half, are seniors, and seniors aren't well known for being voracious social media consumers. At the best of times, and rely a lot on traditional media and traditional means to get their information about campaigns.
Well,
so is it really going to hurt?
Well, if you really look at Facebook, you'll probably find the major demographic of Facebook are the probably 50-year-olds and over. The kids have given up on Facebook a long time ago. They're on Instagram or WhatsApp or whatever they're doing. All I can say is that The stuff that I see from recognizable names that come across my feed, they are just shares of a particular opinion, and usually it's an anti-Trudeau opinion, and that's what I'm saying is that this we've got to vote this guy out because he's an enemy of the people and all that stuff. It started way before the election.
Okay, I that may be true, and I'm not saying it's not.
I may be selective.
I was going to say
the reason I may be selective is that I blocked a lot of people.
Okay,
I block third party sources that these people share.
Okay, so to that point then, and that was part of what I was going to say, but also, I find I haven't received a lot of the anti-Trudeau stuff, and I have a very diverse a group of people that I do follow online, but haven't seen
Canada
all that
proud,
much.
How many Canada Proud or Ontario Proud stuff do you get?
And I haven't got a whole lot of that. I haven't had a lot of that shared. And so I wonder, and again, you know, it's so difficult to determine the impact of these things, because I guess, you know, what we're really trying to talk about is how is that going to sway voters? And I ask you, you know, maybe all this stuff is happening. And I mean, again, if I'm a partisan, I'm going to look at that and dismiss it entirely. And it's annoying. If I'm not, if I'm somebody who's trying to find out, you know, why should I vote for so-and-so, and what are the issues that are important to me, and are they being addressed? Where am I finding that information now?
It's a very, very good question, because as we both agree, most of this stuff that comes across on social media is anti-something, not necessarily for something. And a lot of this stuff is put out by organizations who specialize in this. And I mentioned Ontario Proud and Canada Proud and all these other third party stuff. It's the same content, just shared by somebody else who
sure.
happens to like them. Now, as I said, I block those people, and because I don't want to see the same thing twice. And secondly, most of the stuff that they put out is not necessarily true. For instance, it gets back to the question of national campaigns and untruths. Mr. Scheer is now telling people that certain things are going to happen, which we know are not true.
Well, Ben, before I don't. That's not why we're here to. I don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. I really wanted to talk about local stuff.
Yes.
And what I really wanted, the point I'm trying to make is where are people going to get good information? And here's a couple of things to think about. First of all, what's been the role of local media? You know, we've lost our daily newspaper almost just 2 years now. And, you know, you look at media theory, and people say when there's a weak news environment, it affects the democratic process. And I've been going out and trying to follow along what kind of coverage we've been seeing. And while we get little bits about the various all candidates meetings, we have been the only radio station here at Northumberland 89.7 who have interviewed fully all the five candidates
yes.
that are running. I haven't seen profiles. Metroland is doing a centralized thing. I can go in and get a bit of biographical information. There's been good candidate meeting coverage, but there hasn't been a lot around issues. The Now Network has done made an effort to try and get to candidates and to get some profile information up. The radio stations have been the other radio stations have been doing their fair bit, and of course the blogger John Draper, he doesn't touch this stuff very much at all. He doesn't go in for it. So if I'm somebody that's sitting at home right now, where am I going? I'm trying to parse out, you know, do I go to the websites? And, you know, we know that that's partisan. You know, is that going to really help me? So, you know, I think there's
now
a really big concern.
There's now 3 days before the vote,
mm-hmm.
okay? I haven't had one political leaflet through my door.
Mm-hmm.
Not one. I saw in the Northumberland News, Metroland, this week, there was a 4x4 advertisement from the NDP sitting right next to a 4x4 advertisement for the Liberals. So you're right. Where are we supposed to get this stuff? And we get it mainly, obviously, from the major media, the networks on TV, and the newspapers that are available nationally.
So what that says to me then is that when I'm going in to mark a ballot, am I marking a ballot because I want Trudeau? Do I want Scheer? Do I want Singh? Do I want May? Do I want Bernier? Or should I be going in and saying to myself, you know, Rudd, Lawrence, right? McDonald,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Wheldon, you know,
but
Vaughan?
It depends entirely on your political outlook. Now, if you believe that it doesn't make any difference who you have in there, and you're just going to vote for the party, then obviously you're going to be looking at the leaders to say, who is the best suited that I can align with? If you're saying, I don't care for much for those leaders, I'm looking at my local people, you will look at the local people. Now, last time around, think about this. In your circle of friends last time around, when you had the election debrief, were you ever surprised by some people who said, I voted for Kim Rudd because I like her? How much of that impression came across last time around? I met a lot of people who said, I like Kim Rudd, therefore I voted her.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think part of what that strategy of voting locally or voting nationally, I wonder if the Liberals put a lot of faith in Kim being able to carry this riding on her name. Because you look at the fact that, you know, just before the election, since May, she handed out $2.8 million in various program monies and grants and all kinds of things. That didn't include $5 million for the Newcastle Seniors Lodge. It didn't include the $4.5 million in innovation funding. It didn't include $1.5 million for the innovation fund, $71 million for internet in Eastern Ontario, $3.7 million for legal aid clinics. Now, why would you do that if you were thinking that the writing was going to be carried by the national leader? You know, you're making an investment. You're trying to make an impression so that people vote locally.
That's right. That's right. But at the same time, if you believe that that money is going to come through with Philip Lawrence next time, what's the difference between Philip Lawrence and Kim Rudd? You're still going to get the money.
So you don't think those kinds of things have impact on the local level?
I don't. The monies and everything else has an impact. But the fact you have politicians delivering the money, I don't think that people will make a connection to say, well, if Kim Rudd wasn't here, we wouldn't be getting this money.
Do you think door knocking still matters in a campaign?
Yes.
Now, I'm not talking about dropping off leaflets, because
no.
We've discussed that. But I'm talking about knocking on doors and talking to people.
Yes.
You think that's still important?
Yes.
Why?
Because you're making a physical contact with a person in a house. Now, you may be told, I've already voted, or I don't believe what you say, or politicians are the same, go away, or I love you, you have my vote. And the point is that they made a connection.
How significant does that fit into all the various pieces? Because we've talked on a lot of things. We've talked about the role of media. We've talked about signs. We've talked about door knocking. We've talked about literature. We've talked about the role of social media. Out of all the things, and I'm basing this on your experiences, because you've campaigned provincially, you've campaigned fairly. Out of all of those things, What's the chemistry? What's the balance between all of that that makes a successful candidate?
It's not going to make any difference to the people who already have their minds made up or who are partisans.
And we've talked about that.
And we don't have the great level of independence that they have in the United States, which they swing based on things. So you're always going to get the fact that, let's take a council election. You vote for five people in a council election. Now, I can guarantee you that if you bang on the door potential councillor, and say, I've come to talk to you about whatever's wrong and all the rest of it, it's probably 50, 60% you're going to get their vote because they got five votes and you were the only one that knocked. You're the only one that came to bang on the house. And I think a certain amount of that does exist federally and provincially.
So it'll come down to, in your mind, it'll come down to how many doors each candidate has been able to knock on that'll make the difference come Monday night.
It's all part of the piece. It's all part of the piece. Take, for instance, this guy running for the People's Party, Vaughan, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's heard of him. Nobody knows who the People's Party is. But do you think that if he banged on a door and explained himself, people wouldn't be more educated?
It's been fascinating. When I drive through this riding, I notice that the People's Party, Vaughan has signs on people's lawns.
Yes.
And yet when I go up into closer to Trent, near Peterborough, the People's Party guy up there, it's all on the roadsides. I haven't seen a house with one of those signs on. So, it's from that standpoint of view, if that can be a measure, you wonder how that affects the dynamic. Does he have the ability to pull votes away and will they be significant enough? Let's talk a bit about the polls. I don't know how much you follow 338 Canada.
I look at it about once a week or so just to check. And 338 Canada, I think, is a bit of a con. The reason being is that I'm not sure where the data to produce those projections are coming from. For instance, this riding's been a toss-up for the last 6 weeks.
Well, it's been a toss-up since the beginning.
Yes, and it always will be a toss-up. Because if you look at tracking or whatever, this riding follows a national trend. This riding has never voted for somebody who was not in the government, not in the winning party. Never voted for anybody other than the winning party. Conservative, liberal. It will change, but and you look at the percentages. What is the percentage difference? Maybe 4 to 6% every time around, and this is where the Liberals are very susceptible.
I you haven't convinced me that 338 Canada is not reliable because I think they use algorithms, and I think that there's the science behind what they do is pretty credible, and it's interesting. This guy is an astrophysicist who is obviously developed this and brings this information, which he's pulling from all kinds of sources, and then through an algorithm comes out with results. And I believe the last couple of elections he's been pretty dead on. So I do look at this regularly, and neck and neck locally, they're both within the margin of error.
Yes.
And so they're calling it to be a toss-up between the Liberals and the Conservatives. If that's the case, what do you think has contributed to it being so close?
The national trend.
You think it's totally tied into the national trend?
Absolutely. I think that if you went back to look at the national trend versus the actual local result, there will always be a difference, and it's probably going to be a little bit. It's going to be up and down, maybe 2 or 3% of the national trend. I don't think it'll be.
That's interesting because I would have said to you it's fascinating because right at the very early stages of the campaign. You'll notice that the Liberals are sitting high, the Conservatives are substantially down, and then within a couple of days, if barely a week, all of a sudden they start to converge. And then after about, I would say, the second week, they were very, very tight, and they've stayed that way all along, with the Liberals dropping below the Conservatives in terms of overall. But again, it's very tiny, it's very close, and within the margin of error.
And this is the problem. You've got 11 provinces and territories, and we know that in Alberta, for instance, you're going to get 65-68% approval rating for the Conservatives. Which then you run that into the national average, and it sort of goes all over the place.
But I'm talking locally.
Yes, okay, talk locally. Well, locally, what I'm saying is that the winner does not deviate from the national trend.
Okay.
And we don't know what the national trend is. We haven't known what the national trend is, despite all its faults, of determining what the national trend is. We've been told it's neck and neck for the last 3 weeks.
But doesn't that kind of closeness then tend to put pressure on people to do a strategic vote? I mean, historic numbers say that this riding has been a two-way race for the last number of decades. And, you know, when you think about it, why should I vote you? And I feel really strong that I don't want the others to get in, so I vote for the other party, so that for one of the two major ones, because I don't want to throw my vote away. How do you respond to that kind of logic?
Well, I think it's you're almost true. The logic is there. The question is, A, people want to have a winning vote. Secondly, if you feel strongly that there's an incumbent of the party that you don't like, you'll vote to stop that party that person getting in.
Do you support strategic voting?
Only if the Conservative is in the lead.
Well, there you have it. This has been a lot of fun, I think. I hope you found it helpful at home and as you prepare to mark your ballot on October 21st. Please make sure you do go out and vote. No matter who you are supporting, the most important thing is just to do it. We are lucky to live in a country where we can vote. And as an educator and someone who works with young people, I want to send a special message to those people to get out and vote. I know many of you are turning your nose up at politics, and maybe it's not your thing, but truly I believe that if you make an effort, you could transform this entire country. So talk to people you respect, grab a few friends, and go mark a ballot. It will be a great end. You will not regret it, I promise. If you have already voted, good on you. Find a friend, a neighbor, or someone at work and make sure they vote. And you may also want to tune into Northumberland 89.7 FM on election night. I will be hosting our results coverage that evening. We will have an exciting panel of experts and reporters in the field to give you the latest results and insightful comments as things unfold. So I hope you will join us starting at 9:30 p.m. just when the polls close. It should be great listening. Next week, Daniel Caseta, the coordinator of the Migrant Workers Program in Northumberland, is coming in to talk about the treatment of foreign workers on local farms following a major expose by the Toronto Star last weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves about this show, please email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you are on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you would like to listen to this or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you'll find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.